All right, the next style I want to talk about is the S style. And really what we're doing here is we're popping open the hood, taking a look at the engine, digging beneath the surface, getting a sense of what makes these people tick. And I want to use the same framework that I've been using for the other styles. And that is this idea that we all have this very fundamental drive to be seen as valuable, to feel that we are useful, that we're worthwhile people. And very early on in life, we make decisions about what makes a person valuable. And I guess more to the point, what's going to make me valuable? The trick is, though, we all make different assumptions about what's going to make us valuable. And so for the S style, one of the really prominent assumptions that I see again and again and again is this idea that I'm valuable if I help people. I'm valuable if I'm useful to other people. And very much in step with this is one of the first things that people notice about someone who's high in the S style is that they tend to be very, very accommodating, right? They're very quick to adjust to other people's needs. They show a great deal of empathy for other people. They let them know that they're there to help. Have a lot of difficulty saying no. Right? And they tend to be pretty good listeners. They're oftentimes a lot more likely to listen than they are to speak. And when I've talked to people with the S style and kind of dug a little beneath the surface, one of the things that I've found is they oftentimes assume that others really don't have a lot of interest in their experiences and ideas. And so they probe others for what others are thinking, but kind of just minimize the importance of their ideas and minimize how interested other people are. And so they're often hesitant or tentative when they're speaking, which in a lot of cases can actually cause people to be less interested. They're not sensing their passion. Another thing that I found in conversations with people with the S style, digging beneath the surface, is that they really have a fear of boring people. There's an insecurity around that issue of being tedious to other people. We also find that people with the S style are really likely to give other people the benefit of the doubt. They put the behavior of other people in the best possible light. They give it the most favorable interpretation in terms of the other person's intentions. And they're inclined to think, in some respects, that the other person really does fundamentally have more rights than they do. They really have a minimal sense of their own rights, as opposed to, let's say, the D style, which we talk about, which oftentimes has a very elevated sense of their own rights. But the person with the S style, they trust people. When someone makes an excuse, they tend to believe what they're told. They're very, very patient with other people's mistakes, very supportive of their friends. They won't point out flaws if they see them. But, you know, truthfully, it's not even just that they don't want to point out the flaws. They're really less likely to see the flaws. If someone has a different style than them, they're inclined to consider that maybe their own ideas need to be reconsidered rather than the other person's ideas. Again, much in contrast to the D style. So they're quick to see another person's point of view, and you know, as many of you probably seen a number of times, they're a lot more suggestible by the same token, more likely to be taken advantage of, because they're inclined to think other people's intentions are good, assuming that you know other people wouldn't lie or bend the truth. For a lot of people with the S style, they'd much rather take the risk of being manipulated or being taken in or deceived than to doubt someone who's sincere. And really the pride system that keeps a lot of people guarded against looking foolish or you know being taken in or being manipulated really isn't as pronounced for the S style, right? That's not as dangerous as potentially sending someone the signals that you don't trust them. And similarly, they tend to be very forgiving. You know, they trust that other people's intentions are good. You know, one reason they're forgiving. But a second reason is that they're really anxious to repair, really eager to repair the relationship. Now, we talked about at the beginning that one of the fundamental assumptions is that I'm valuable if I help people, if I'm useful to other people. And so there is this sense of almost earning affection. We talked about the fact that they're good listeners, and they are good listeners because they're genuinely interested in other people's lives. But beneath the surface, there really is also a secondary motivation when listening, which is to earn the affection of the other person, the belief that they'll be more likable if they make the other person feel good about themselves, if they make the other person feel heard, if they ask the other person questions and seem interested in your life, right? Now, this isn't all disingenuous. I mean, there really is a sincere part to this, but there also is a part that's motivated by a self-interest, a need to feel more valuable in this respect. And on the inverse side, not to bore the other person with their own stuff. And because the person with the S style really, for the most part, doesn't base their self-esteem on achievement or accomplishment nearly as much as other people, they're a lot less likely to be ambitious, and they're oftentimes a lot less likely to seek out leadership positions. In fact, they oftentimes have a really unspoken but fundamental discomfort being in charge of other people. And when I've really dug deep and talked to some people with this S style, not in all, but in some cases, there's almost this unspoken equating of being in command of other people versus doing harm with other people, and so we have some folks who really take to leadership like a fish takes to water, but for a lot of people with the S style, they're really monitoring themselves on this humility front, right? Is that one should always keep themselves in check, and they don't want to be caught in a position where they're being haughty, right? Particularly where they're being seen as being haughty, right? Who do you think that you are to be in charge of me? And so they'll look for ways to give away their power. They'll monitor their words to make sure they're not coming across as a dictator. It's a really core conflict with their belief that you certainly shouldn't be caught promoting yourself as something special, right? You need to keep yourself in check. And really, you know, when you build yourself up, when you put yourself in charge of other people, you really risk the humiliation of someone looking at you, you know, eyes asquint and saying, "You don't really belong up there, right? You're a phony. You know, you've been found out." And so, better to keep yourself in check than to have someone else do it for you. It's better to take yourself off the pedestal and to have people realize that you don't really belong in charge. You don't really know what you're doing. And a related phenomenon, and a really interesting cognitive perspective that I've noticed talking to a number of S people is that they're much more likely to see themselves as the object in someone else's mind, right, rather than the primary doer. And let me at the risk of taking too much of a tangent, let me tell a little story here just to communicate what I'm talking about. And this is an essay that I read, I don't know, it must have been like 20 years ago now. And it was written by a guy, he's recalling an incident in his teen years. And so he's got a good buddy, one of his best friends, who's, he wants to take this girl out. And the problem is that the buddy can't take the girl out unless he finds a date for the girl's friend. So he kind of coaxes his friend into taking a hit and going out with him, you know, on a blind date with the two of them, basically being a wingman, right? And the friend is, or I'm sorry, so the writer is going on and, you know, talking about what a burden this is going to be. Just he's expecting to have a miserable time. He could be out playing basketball. He's going to be set up with this girl. He sure is going to be just really unattractive, right? And so finally the night comes, and the girl shows up, and she is just she's just stunning. She's gorgeous, right? And the guy couldn't be more happy. He's thrilled. So they talk for a little bit, and they go out. You know, the girl seems a little bit shy, but he's like, you know, I'll warm her up. They're on the subway, riding into the city, and he's trying to get the conversation going. The girl's not much of a conversationalist. He tries the old yawn with the arm behind putting the arm around her, and she doesn't really take to it, right? She moves away, and he tries a couple other things, and there's this moment of clarity that he has when he realizes, I'm the blind date, right? He's actually able to see himself through this girl's eyes, right? And so this is what I'm talking about here. He sees himself as the object in her eyes, as opposed to what he was seeing before, is he's the actor, right? He's the main character. Instead of her being the blind date, he's the blind date. He's the unwanted one, right? He's the one that's going to fade off into obscurity as soon as she goes off and keeps living her life. And so when I talk to a number of people with the S style, they're much more likely than others to see themselves as the object in other person's eyes. And so they're doing what they can to keep those other people happy, minimizing their own rights, minimizing their own needs, right, to serve the purpose of the primary actor in that situation. This is, for example, the opposite of the D, right? The person with a D style who's much more likely to objectify other people, seeing them as instruments of his or her success or his or her goals. The S, on the other hand, the person with the S style, is much more likely to see themselves as the object, to want to stay out of other people's way, not be a nuisance. And I'll get into talking about this a little bit more, expanding on this as we get into the S style. But there certainly is a positive aspect to this. There's a natural attentiveness to other people's needs that they've honed throughout their lives. And so whereas someone else, when they've gotten feedback that they've been callous or they've hurt someone's feelings, right, really needs to have a focused effort on what's the other person thinking, what's the other person feeling. The person with the S-style throughout their entire lives has just trained themselves to think in that way. And so it comes very naturally and very smoothly to that person, in a naturally empathic sense of what's going on with another person. All right, so we've talked about this assumption that I'm valuable if I help people or if I'm useful to people. There's a second assumption that I want to talk about right here, and it's this idea that I'm valuable if I don't let other people down, right? And in fact, you can almost kind of flip it on its head and say I lack value, right? I'm a bad person if I let other people down, if I upset other people, right? So I'm valuable if I don't upset people. I'm valuable if I don't rock the boat. And one of the first things that comes across when you meet someone with an S style is that very gentle nature, right? The high amount of high desire for stability among these folks. And if there was a single best determiner of the S's behavior, for my money, it's a drive for harmony. Harmony in both in terms of their relationships and in terms of the tasks that they're doing. Chaos is bad. I need to have things stable. Consequently, they tend to be really careful. They minimize their potential for mistakes. They minimize setting unrealistic expectations in other people's minds. They don't like to have unclear expectations put on them. They're not easily excited. All right. They tend to describe themselves as very calm, like I said, gentle. Cognitively speaking, they're much more likely to see the potential downside of a failure than the benefits of a success, particularly when it comes to taking a risk of some sorts. You know, they'd like to have, and oftentimes it's an unrealistic level of information before making a decision or before speaking out in a meeting, right? Oftentimes people with the S style are very quiet in meetings, right? They're gathering their thoughts. And so someone, let's say with the D or the I style, who's willing to just speak out with their opinion, is more willing to be wrong or more confident that they're going to be right, right? The S is kind of processing all of these different options and gathering more and more information, not feel comfortable to speak out until they really have put a nail in things. And in the end, they're a lot more willing and likely to stick with the status quo because they know exactly what they're going to get, right? If they put their, you know, if they put their effort in, right, they know what the output is going to be, right? And they're usually persistent and conscientious enough to put in that effort, and so they have a very predictable outcome on the other side. And so it's this need for harmony that many times leads to these routines and really well-established patterns that we see. They like having a steady rhythm, which they can maintain tirelessly over an extended period of time. They can turn out remarkably consistent progress day after day, and a lot less likely to get bored with a routine compared to other styles. They may not show a lot of urgency from internal sources. You know, unlike the D, who has this constant drive, I need to be getting stuff done. I need, you know, their value is based on getting stuff done and on accomplishing. Their value isn't nearly based as much on accomplishing. There's not that sense of urgency in their mind. They certainly do respond to from pressure from other sources because they have that drive. What does make them valuable, they feel, is meeting other people's expectations and demands, and so they meet that level of urgency. But it's not nearly as much from internal sources. And by a similar token, they're very unlikely to pressure other people. And so with their fondness for harmony, they're not really likely to be scanning the environment looking for new opportunities. They're much more likely to see the benefits, see the beauty of what they have in front of them. You know, they oftentimes they're cited as disliking change, right? And that's not necessarily true of every person with the S style, but it's certainly a common pattern, right? And they're content to work within an existing structure. You know, they get attached to the routine or the procedure or a certain piece of equipment, and if they're asked to give these things up, let's say that they're subtly pressured to give these things up, they'll passively resist. And if the pressure gets to a point where it's obvious that they're being pushed to give them up, they'll do so. But they'll internally kind of silently suffer with a feeling of chaos or emotional confusion. You know, a feeling that they've really been uprooted until they've been able to sort things out. They want to work with known quantities. They've got well-developed coping mechanisms for problems when they're working with known qualities, and not so much when they're working in the unknown areas. Another area that's tied in with this belief that I don't want to upset people or I don't want to rock the boat is they show a really strong respect for authority. You know, and they not only respect the authority, but oftentimes don't even consider the idea of questioning. This idea that they must know best, right? Underestimating their own judgment. And if someone, particularly a person in authority, shows strong self-assurance and self-confidence and projects that, the person with the S style is inclined to believe in them because the S really doesn't show this level of confidence unless they're absolutely certain. And so there's this unconscious of projection that, well, they must be absolutely certain. And if we really want to theorize, get into some psychoanalytical thinking on this is that we can talk about some of the externalization that's going on here. Is that I have a strong need for stability, and I don't have the confidence or self-assurance in myself to do it, but I can externalize, I can project that on the world, project that on the authorities, and have that sense of security and stability from them by assuming, by projecting on them a level of certainty that in a lot of cases is unrealistic, but it's comforting to have. Also tied in with this drive for harmony is a really, really strong avoidance of conflict. Avoiding argumentative people. And, you know, when someone with the S style is forced to work with them, they're likely to cave in, but oftentimes will go out of their way in the future to avoid working with that person or to just pacify that person or make it nervous when they have to approach that person with a question. They just find it very stressful to work with these people and can be very sensitive to criticism, very quick to internalize those criticisms and become perhaps even more hesitant in their opinions. That can make them even more frustrating to work with for people who are very driven and want quick answers. You often see people with the S style in group situations when it's a light tension will try to play the peacemaker role, but when things get more heated are a lot more likely to just shut down, just kind of try to wait things out, hope that people will settle things or at least wait things out so they can get out of there as quickly as possible. And when working with the S people, oftentimes I found that they don't realize how much of their energy is going in to trying to understand another person's perspective and cater to that other person, and really all of the energy that goes into filtering what's coming out of their mouth. You know, if someone else was to come in, blind, and start to do that and put all that energy, it would be exhausting to them. But just because they've been doing that their whole life, it feels natural. They don't realize how inefficient it could be, or on the other hand, how efficient it could be to just speak your mind, just blurt out what's in your head. It really just doesn't seem like an option to them to do that. So they're so used to protecting other people's feelings and looking out for what other people are doing. And so when they're talking to other people, you're used to running through a variety of different ways of phrasing them in order to either get through or protect the other person's feelings, right? And so it comes across as very hesitant or very unsure. And particularly for people who are very, very decisive and cut and dry, right, tell it like it is type folks, this indecisiveness can be really frustrating when they feel like they can't get a straight opinion out of a person, or the other person's not making their preferences entirely clear. I've talked to a number of situations where people have an S manager and they get frustrated because the person fails to manage up. They want everyone below them, the subordinates, to be happy, but they're also not comfortable pushing for the resources that they need or to stick up for the team's rights. In general, they have a lot of difficulty seeing themselves and imagining themselves as powerful. Now, something really, I'm going to take a little sidetrack and talk about the idea of power here, because this is very relevant to the S style, and as well on everything on the flip side to the D style as well. But when we perceive ourselves as powerful, right, and psychologists talk about us activating this what's called the behavioral approach system, right, where in other words, we become very active, right? Behavioral approach, right? We tend to take steps. We tend to approach the problem, right? Versus someone who perceives himself as not having powerful, being powerful, is talked about as activating what's called the behavioral inhibition system, right, which focuses on pain avoidance, right? So I'm not powerful enough to approach the problem, but really what I'm going to do, what I can do is avoid pain, right? And so we focus on punishments rather than rewards, as opposed to the powerful person who's focusing on rewards rather than punishment. And so research shows that people who show themselves as who see themselves as high in power are a lot more likely to act than deliberate, and vice versa. So the S, who sees themselves as lacking in power, are a lot more likely to spend time deliberating. The D, the I, who sees themselves high in power, is much more likely to just jump in and act. The person who sees themselves in low in power is a lot less likely to delegate, right, to ask for favors. Right. They see themselves as having more constraints in the situation. And when they look out at other people, they're more likely to see them as obstacles to their goals, as opposed to someone who perceives themselves to be powerful. That person looks out at other people and sees them as instruments towards their goals. And this ability to see yourself as powerful and the tendency to see yourself as powerful has a lot of implications for how we approach our interactions with other people. Research shows again and again that people who perceive themselves as powerful are a lot more likely to exploit and to objectify other people. And it makes a lot of sense when we think of ourselves as powerful, right? We don't really need to attend to the needs of other people as we do when we're in a less powerful situation. Think of yourself working with your boss, right? You probably spend a lot more time trying to sort out what's her mood, what is she thinking of me, all right, than she does of you. When we're in the position of power, all right, we're a lot less attentive to the internal experiences and needs of other people. Yeah. On the other hand, the people without the power are a lot more motivated to understand the causal relationships in their environment. Research shows that subordinates put a lot more energy into reading interpersonal cues from their supervisors than vice versa. And power also reduces perspective taking. Right. If you see yourself as powerful, you're a lot less likely to put the effort into seeing things from another person's point of view. There's a really clever experiment that was done. The researchers took a group of people and they randomly split them in half. And half of the people were primed to think of themselves as more powerful. And then half of the people were primed to think of themselves as less powerful. Right. And then in a seemingly unrelated exercise, and I believe they thought they were going to be playing a game, they were asked to put the letter E on their forehead, right, and do it in the mirror. And the people who were in the high power condition, who were thinking themselves as powerful, right, were a lot less likely to think of the other person's perspective. So what do? They put the E on backwards, how it looked to them in the mirror. Right? People who were primed to think of themselves as less powerful were actually more likely to write the E backwards in their own mind so that other people would be able to read it straightforward. So obviously this is a downside of power, right? The inability to take perspective of another person. But as we all know, there are some distinct advantages of perceiving oneself as powerful. And one of the things that comes clear in the research is this this ability to really act with certainty that a lot of people with the S style have difficulty doing because they're over-processing the information. All right, so calling back to the big picture, there's one final area that I want to talk about. And in terms of this idea that I'm valuable if, right? I'm valuable if I help people. I'm valuable if I don't let other people down. But there's also this sense that I'm valuable if people accept me. And so people with the S style oftentimes don't really need a whole lot of attention. They're okay working in the background. unlike the person with the I style, who really needs to feel special to feel valuable, the person with the S style is really just shooting for acceptance. Right? They don't need to be adored or admired. They really just want to fit in. They don't need the limelight. They're comfortable working in a supporting role. And if we were talking to a psychoanalyst, they may even speculate that a lot of people, certainly not all, but a number of people with the S style have a need to show deference to other people. They have a need to make themselves small. Right? And so will oftentimes attach themselves to a stronger person and have a need to praise that other person, to build that other person up, to follow their rules, and provide a vicarious sense of confidence through that other person, all the while minimizing their sense of self. Now, whether or not you buy into that, it's hard to argue with the observation that people with the S style have a really pronounced sense of modesty about them. They don't self-promote very well. And you know, for that reason, their contributions oftentimes fly under the radar. Now, they do really, really appreciate recognition, but at the same time get embarrassed about it. And you know, have this assumption that if I'm given a compliment, I need to play it down. You know, I need to push down the value of the compliment. Say it was no big deal, or the idea was just common sense, even though they do take pride in that compliment. But this modesty does diminish their social presence. And so in future interactions, it makes it more difficult for people to respect their opinions, respect their ideas, respect their voice. They have a diminished sense of their own rights, as we talked about before, and other people pick up on that, right? They really don't want to impose. They'll go out of their way to avoid asking for a favor. And to make their mark, they're oftentimes constantly fighting against this internal drive to make themselves inconspicuous. Right? And so other people are dismissing their input because they don't present their ideas with that much force. And so if they're working in a very hard-charging environment, right, a lot of the people that I've talked to are actually really self-conscious about the idea that they're seen as timid. It's really an area of insecurity for them. By the same token, though, they really dislike having to fight to have their ideas heard. And so they'll, you know, if they're looking for the lesser of two evils, the lesser of two evils is to be seen as passive rather than really putting forth the energy, putting forth the gusto to put up the fight. They're much more inclined towards that peaceful environment and usually describe themselves as pretty moderate, tend to choose pretty middle-of-the-road approaches, sort of non-committal, right? Use words like peaceful or calm or serene to describe themselves. You know, and this, again, is respecting that, or reflecting that desire for stability. And even though sometimes in the DISC model, you know, when you see the DISC model describe people in the I and S styles are described as affiliative or people-focused, they actually tend to describe themselves as very private. In fact, when we had people take the Myers-Briggs, 75% of people with the S style came up as introverts. Right? And when we talk to them, they like to have the security of their own world and oftentimes have to muster up a little energy, right, to let other people into that world. And so I would say that they probably have a stronger need for intimacy than they do for affiliation, preferring those smaller group of friends and reluctant to share personal information with someone until they know them really well. Therefore, when this person matures and they begin to value themselves on who they are inherently, they're having an intrinsic sense of worth rather than on their ability to help people or to be accepted, what's left is a confident person who has developed these skills to empathize with others and to take the perspective of other people and balance those things with their own needs. And as we're learning more and more, that's an incredibly useful skill.